Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. Kevin Macy, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. That is Ryan Finley. If you are watching us live, that is Ryan Finley over there, my boss, the sports editor. And look, if you don't watch us live, I understand that. It is a podcast, but because it's 2024, of course, we then show it live on video. But you are missing out to the intro. Today's intro, the little Michael King graphic there, and then the collage of Padres moments and everything that John Kelly, our producer, put together. It's freaking awesome, man. And I didn't want to let that go without mentioning that. So maybe one day just tune in for the first 15 seconds of the podcast.
Absolutely. And again, we're doing live on Twitter too. So if you follow us or follow everything on Twitter, you can watch our video live there too. If you're not watching us, you're missing out, Kevin. People get to see what sort of hat I'm wearing. They get to watch me drink Diet Coke while you answer questions. It's a lot of fun.
Ryan, Padres, Blue Jays for another three-game homestand, the last three-game homestand. And then the season sort of settles in. I wrote about that the other day, which I'm looking forward to. Players are looking forward to, but whatever. It's all a grind. Padres, Blue Jays. Blue Jays are 10-9. Padres are 11-10. Both of them, as Jeff Sanders noted in his series preview, which you should also check out, one game above 500 in tough divisions. A lot to talk about. Ryan, where do you want to start?
I'd like to start with the birthday boy. Jackson Merrill turns 21 today. He has been a revelation through the first month of the Padres season. He's hitting .333, OPS of .845. I pulled those numbers just out of thin air. Not because John Kelly has them on the bottom of our screen as we speak. This has been, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong here. This has been the best case scenario for Jackson Merrill so far through the first month of the season.
Absolutely. Like without a doubt it has. And it's one of those things where it's not what the Padres expected, but it is what they expected. Right? He's had big moments that haven't been hits. Wrote about that today in my feature. Because he hustles, because he knows the game, because he's all about winning. So, and this may be one thing that I could expand on from today's story, in that his desire to help his team win helps him, in that it takes sort of take the pressure off. He's not thinking about doing anything when he's up to bat, except putting that ball in play in the best way that is going to help his team. So if it's two outs in the 11th inning with two strikes at Dodger Stadium, it's to get a single through that hole he sees on the left side, because they got him a little shifted over to the right. If it's putting the ball in play, a sacrifice fly, beating out a double play, just whatever it is he needs to do in that moment is what he's thinking about, rather than thinking about, which veterans do, and certainly guys their first time up in the major leaguers, be they pitchers or hitters, think about, I need to do this correctly, and I need to do this specific way. And all that Jackson Merrill is doing is trying to do something to help the Padres win. And look, this guy started talking about it in spring training. And you know, Ryan, that I try to guard against being cynical. But it is one of those things when some rookie who talks really fast and does say a lot of cliches, and by the way, very few people make cliches sound as absolutely authentic as Jackson Merrill does, so I'm not putting him down. Go, okay, winning in spring training. Okay, kid. I'm telling you, that's what this kid is all about.
I remember, Kevin, and it was mid-March. I was driving home. I had taken my kids to a USD baseball game. I'm in the car driving home and the phone rings and it's you. And you go, Jackson Merrill's making this team. I go, why? He goes, did you see what he did today? I said, no, I was at a USD baseball game. You go, and again, I think that we talk about nuance and really we try to hedge a lot here.
Because we have to.
But it was the second or third week of March, second week of March. And you went, this kid's making the team. He's incredible. And because he had done, again, something that day to help them win. And I think what we're seeing now with him, you talk about beating out a double play. Yeah, you beat out a double play ball in a run score. That helps your team win. If we're looking at somebody who I think is an early embodiment of the sort of every little edge Padres, I think it's Jackson Merrill.
It is. I wrote today that it's like he came out of a Mike Schilt dream. Yes. Because his quote was the quote of the year after that game-winning hit last Friday at Dodger Stadium. Sometimes you can be the hero by doing the small things, Jackson Merrill said.
Wow.
Boom. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Mike Schilt is going to faint when I tell him this.
Is it on a t-shirt yet? That's the
he's about, but it's like, are you kidding me? So yeah. And that's who he is. And look, So just to wrap up the Jackson Merrill topic here, reason this is important, because he's not always going to hit 333 because no one expects Tony Gwynn does.
Right.
He's not going to – there isn't a lot of expectation that he's the guy who has a 844 OPS all the time, okay?
Right.
It's the guy who can correct himself. It's the guy that can find ways when he's in a slump to help you win. The guy who's going to be even because he has the correct approach.
Kevin, we don't really talk about his defense, which I think is a sign he's doing things the right way, right? He's, you know, this isn't going to be Trent Grisham, you know, catching everything, but he appears to be a natural out there. What have you seen from him in center field?
Yeah, who knows? I think you're right, but he could be. I mean, here's the thing. He hasn't been tested. Right. I mean, no, like, look, there have been some tough balls. He made that incredible play to take extra bases against away from Ohtani. And by the way, when you go on to win in the 11th inning, and you got what I brought up Freddie Freeman after that, then, you know, that's a huge play as well. Man, that guy had a great game last Friday. You nailed it. Like, we're not talking about it. He has done a fine job.
Right. Which, again, for a guy who is 21 today, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's... very few players in baseball history are doing what he's doing at that age.
That's very true. I always talk to guys like just making the major leagues. They're a part of the, let's call it 1%, right?
Right.
And then there's guys that do have done or are doing things that like the 0.1% do. Right. And that's right. A guy who has already batted leadoff once, who's playing center field, who is playing every day for his team at age 20, now 21, third youngest player in the majors.
Right. And you look at the list of men in baseball who have done the things that he has done. It's not a list of bums, Kevin. It's names everybody knows.
It's funny. That is such an important thing to me, because when you cover the Padres, like if you cover the Yankees and there's a post-game note or something announced in the press box, or you look up something like, hey, when was the last time that happened? And a lot of times you'll be at the Cardinals, and it was, that's the first time since Stan Musial. You know, the Yankees, you know, that's the first time since Mickey Mantle or Reggie Jackson. And the Padres, it's like, that's the first time since Ryan Schimpf.
Yeah.
And again, Ryan, part of the 1%, right? Whoever you are, I've got all the respect in the world. But there is a difference when you're talking about the only four active players to have batted leadoff and played center field for their team in the same game before turning 21, Jackson Merrill, Ronald Acuna, Bryce Harper, and Mike Trout.
Those are all dudes. Kevin, I was at a function yesterday where Shields Seidler referred to the Padres coming off a quote-unquote gnarly road trip. She said that road trip was gnarly, but you guys killed it, is what she said, addressing Mike Shildt, which I love, by the way. That's fantastic. This was an early road trip. You appear to have caught up on your sleep. Take me through, you know, I would gauge this as a successful road trip, 2 or 3 from the Dodgers, 2 or 3 from Milwaukee. What do you take away from
Seems like Shields got a pretty good feel for that. And I guarantee you that she got that either from, you know, Mike Shildt, player, whatever, right? Like, because... It was. You start out at Dodger Stadium. You have the giant comeback in the first game. You're in the second game, right? You win the third game again. A comeback. Was that one? I'm losing track. But regardless, you had two rain delays in Los Angeles. Okay, right. One of them when a game was already scheduled to start at 4 o'clock, so it starts at 4:40, and then you have to fly halfway across the country and you play 3 games in 58 hours. It's actually 3 games and less than that, but from the time you touched down and the time you took off is about 60 hours, and you played 3 baseball games in there and you won 2 of them, so you go 4-2. In the first game in Milwaukee, you come back. And I mean, like it takes a lot out of you, and it's not an excuse. It's an explanation. They were tired that last game. Doesn't matter. They should have won. I somewhat consider it not a disappointing road trip, but eventually you got to take 5 out of 6 on that one because you need to know you can, and you need to know you can put together a 4-game win streak because 4-game win streaks become 5. Okay, 5 becomes 6, 6 becomes 7. Suddenly you're 5 games above 500, and now you're cruising. Not cruising like it's all done, but cruising like, okay, this is who we are. You got to stop this whole like, okay, you're 2 games above, 1 a game above 500, 1 game above 500, 1 game above one game below. You got to stop that. You got to get to where you are one of the teams that people are chasing. You're not constantly chasing both other teams and chasing yourself and your potential. So I just wanted to, like, that's kind of where I'm at right now is, like, I think this is a good team. Okay. I do. I have from the start, but I think they're doing a lot of good things. They got to start reeling these off.
Yeah. And to me too, when we talk about the problems of last year, and there were many, one of them was, is they couldn't stack wins until it was almost too late, right? This was a team that would, you know, take one of three in a series. And then the next week they'd take two or three in a series. And they just never got hot. You know, when I think about Kevin, some maybe red flags early on in this season, this is a team that is a game above 500 with a half dozen comeback victories already, right? That's getting great production from somebody like Jackson Merrill that maybe wasn't expected. They got a killer game from Michael King, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. You know, to me, those are the things that, you know, again, you need to stack some victories here because guys are going to come back to earth. The season's going to come, you know, things even out. I thought the last game against Milwaukee was a huge missed opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Now it's just like a victory, right? The beauty of baseball, right? You'd be reminded. If we were talking to a player right now, he'd jump in and go, yeah, and that's the beauty of baseball. You know, got another one tomorrow.
Right.
So you are, I mean, we're on the same page about it. The beauty of it is it's not the NFL, right? You don't stew on it for a week, right? You don't, nothing. You also get to sort of explain it away. Those are brutal, man. Sometimes you win those, and a lot of times you lose those. And you know, that's where they are. So now they got to do it against a team that's made – I mean, this is a team with a lot of exciting young players. They're facing a kid tonight who made his major league debut, did really well against the Rockies. Presumably, the Padres, you know, would be better than the Rockies in Toronto, not in Colorado, by the way. His name's Yariel Rodriguez, and he's making his second start tonight. We know that, you know, Padres sometimes struggle if they haven't seen a guy. Then you have Jose Berríos and Chris Bassitt coming up.
Yes.
Padres counter with Matt Waldron. Love watching Matt Waldron pitch. He's not Dylan Cease.
Right.
Then you have, I think, maybe Randy Vasquez. They'll call someone up probably tomorrow.
Okay.
For Yu Darvish, which we haven't talked about, but you can read about. It's on the IL. And Joe Musgrove on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, like, they got a challenge this weekend, man.
Yeah. Well, and then Toronto, let's talk about Toronto. This is a good time to start. I find them to be a fascinating, talented young team. You look at guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio. I mean, players who, again, are superstars or budding superstars. Who are you excited to watch on this Blue Jays team?
Oh, gosh, there's, like, really good guys. And I got to tell you, I love watching Justin Turner. So you talk about the good young guys that have been a part of a team that's been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. You mentioned Guerrero, Biggio, Bichette. We're talking about a bunch of young guys whose dads play, whose dads played in the major leagues that were good players. George Springer, who is not, you know, and Bichette or George Springer, I don't think they're playing very well lately, but they're in that lineup and are good, right? And you got Justin Turner, who's like a Padres killer, right? Like almost a 900 OPS against them. And, you know, they've got good pitching. It's a team that knows how to win. They play in a brutal division. You know, I think we're all always trying to talk about the NL West. Good division. You try to talk about how some of the central divisions are getting better. The NL East is good. And we try to talk about that because we're tired of talking about how good the NL East is.
Right.
You know, the Blue Jays are in fourth place, I think, and they're one game over. The Padres are in second place and they're one game over. Look, that's a snapshot 21 games into the season. But, like, I'm just telling you that, like, the Red Sox seemed to have had a terrible season last year. And I think they would have been, like, in third place in the National League West. So
Blue Jays also have Dalton Varsho, who, again, is a former resident of the state of Arizona. I loved watching that dude play. He had a terrible first year with Toronto last year. Seems he leads them in home runs right now, has four bombs, is somebody who, and this is why I love baseball, Kevin. For a while, he was a catcher slash center fielder. Like, it just incredible, incredible. Great athlete, good hitter, struck out a bunch last year, but certainly good. That's fantastic. Can we talk about Michael King real quick? And I know that we're sort of going back and forth. Michael King was very close to doing something very special a couple of days ago. You wrote in your game story following the Padres' loss to the Brewers, it was 1-0 loss, they were gassed, about the relationship or how he worked with Kyle Higashioka, and they had played together in New York. And Pat Murphy even went, "Ooh boy, you know, those two guys were really dialed in." What did you see?
Gosh, you could just see it. Like, there are guys who take no hitters. Like, you say really close to a no hitter. And I know that maybe some people would push back on that. Look, he was, you know, he was seven outs away.
Right.
There's some people who have no hitters that didn't pitch as well as Michael King did that day. Like there were so many bad swings, so many excellent pitches. Like, you actually believed he could do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was so on, and the catcher always has something to do with that. And right. And also, when you notice when a pitcher shakes, it's like, oh, he hasn't done that all game. Well, he did, like Michael King did. And I was like, huh. And because he hadn't done it all day. And like, now with pitch calm, you get a little less of that. The way the Padres are doing a great job, both structuring their defense, where those guys are playing and pitch calling and play calling. They're just doing a great job. But like, I think Kyle Higashioka deserves a lot of credit for that. But that was such a really just a fantastic performance by Michael King.
Right. Now, how much of that is the comfort level? Just Higashioka having caught King and all these other guys?
Yeah, I would imagine that there's got to be that. Like, even if you're Michael King and you're not consciously thinking about it, right? Even if it's just that, and I did not talk to Michael King necessarily about that in that day, but he loves Kyle Higashioka. All right. And so even if he would be reluctant to say that because you don't want it to be like bad against any of the other catchers, right? Or it's just not something he's consciously thinking about. The idea that that's my guy who I've worked with before, who knows me, like, I would say that that's got to be absolutely the case.
Yep. Let's touch on two injury things real quick. Number one, Jake Cronenworth. We have not seen tonight's projected starting lineup, but he indicated to you that he was going to try to play Friday against the Blue Jays. Looks like the Padres dodged a bullet here.
Yeah, that's a good one, right? Like, Jake's season ended in Milwaukee last year with the broken wrist. So not that this was ever going to be that, but the idea that he would have to be pulled and then miss a couple games, that's not good. But I will tell you that not only based on what he says, but watching him and knowing Jake, my understanding, you're like, Jake was pushing to be in there on Wednesday. All right. Yeah. So I would expect that he'd play tonight. But you know, we'll see. The human body I've talked about it before. Human body makes medicine and art. These guys these guys are science. This is science. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about injuries, you don't know.
Right. And injuries in April, too. I mean, I think that people want to err on the side of caution because you don't want a little thing to become a big thing. But again, he's been one of the bright spots, I think, so far this season. Batting average is down a little, but still at 250.
Is who Jake is. If Jake could play like this, you know, game-winning hits, big hits, big walks, big catcher interference, finding a way to get on base, and then the defense, I mean, forget about it.
He is must-see TV playing first base defense. And I'm not sure I could have said that really since Adrian Gonzalez, you know, just in terms of, and they're different guys, right? Different guys.
Yeah.
You know. But it's been incredible. Yu Darvish, this is being framed as a neck injury, sort of on the big, what is it?
Neck tightness. He's had it before. It hasn't risen to the level of injured list or been even a thing that, has caused him to miss a start since early in his career. I think he missed an opening day start once with Texas because of it. But I think he pitched right after that. But this is early in the season. It's there. It bothered him against the Dodgers, he said. And this is absolutely one of those that, you know what? He might not need the full 15 days, but you're a pitcher. It's what you're going to – he'll be ready to come back when he is. So I would expect him to be pitching on April 30th.
Sure. Kevin, is there something to be said for load management, to borrow an NBA term? With Yu Darvish having a break here, could that pay off later? Or
it could. I don't think it goes into it, but it absolutely. No. I'm not saying that they would have pushed through 10 years ago.
Right.
But it's not 10 years ago. The guy's 37.
Right.
He'll be 38 before the season's over.
Right. That was my first thought, was a non-arm related injury at this stage in the season isn't the worst thing in the world if you're a 37-year-old guy who might be needed in September and October.
If you're a bright side guy, then absolutely. And look, maybe also maybe you only needs 7 days.
Right.
And the other, and it was retroactive to a couple of days. So let's say it's 7 days and then it's another 6 days where, sorry about that. I'm always, you know, I'm old. I need to have the ringer on. It's another 6 days where you gets to work on some stuff.
Right.
All right. Cause it's been a little like, it's been, other than Dylan Cease, it's been a little on again, off again for the other two aces. Right. People, right. They alternately talk to about Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish and Dylan Cease as their aces. Mm-hmm. I think not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. Randy Vasquez, if it is Randy Vasquez, what do we know about him outside of he's one of the 13 pitchers they got from the Yankees in the Juan Soto trade?
He is not doing well in AAA.
Right. ERA is 7. Yes. Shocker. Shocker.
You know, and you know what? I might be an idiot because I'll be honest with you. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't even check to see, but I'll tell you this. It is him if he didn't pitch last night, because I believe he was on turn to pitch last night.
Okay.
So you could check that out there on Baseball Reference or something. But that was the word, kind of. Like, we're going to bring someone up probably. Not going to go with a bullpen game. Not going to move Musgrove and everybody up a day, because eventually today starts 13 days in a row with a game. Okay.
Wow.
So, not going to, we would have to bring up someone anyway at some point in this 13 days, or go with a bullpen game. And they're not going to go with a bullpen game on the second day of 13 in a row. So, and Vasquez is the most logical, a guy that is stretched out. And basically would be almost sort of like on turn as well. So we'll have to see.
Excellent. All right, Kevin, one last thing before we go here. It's Jackson Merrill's 21st birthday. What did you do on your 21st birthday?
I'm sure that it was not anything nearly as productive as Will Jackson Merrill. I'm sure that I worked. I'm sure that I worked, but I'm sure that I fit in something else.
Okay. I went
like my first drink, probably.
Right, probably. Your first legal drink.
My first drink, probably. That's all probably. I'm saying.
Attaboy. I went at 12:01. I was working on the student newspaper. We had a late deadline night. At 12:01, I walked into the Osco in Tucson, Arizona, bought a 12-pack of beer, put it on the little thing. They didn't card me. And I went home. That was my 21st birthday fun. Excellent. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Blue Jays 3-game series starting Friday night at Petco Park. For Kevin Acey and John Kelly. JK needs to get more love on the show. Kevin Acey and John Kelly. I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.